your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this segment, I am joined by Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. Now, Dana, last time we chatted about the markets, it was when there was still a little bit of a, I guess, divergence between some of the sectors, especially with tech lagging the overall markets, but the overall market's still looking fairly strong. We also talked about volatility, how it wasn't dropping into the single digits, but it was remaining, I guess, somewhat constrained up and around the 20 level on the VIX. What we've seen recently is tech start to pick back up, and quite frankly, the breadth that we're seeing, especially in the S&P, has been pretty extreme. I think it's 95% of the S&P stocks are trading above their 200-day moving average. Dana, what are you thinking? Is this setup for the U.S. equity markets really just another leg higher on the forefront?
Yeah, thanks, Corey. I think, you know, all signs point to continued upside, you know, not straight up like we saw, like we talked about after the election. We saw basically the greatest trading market of all time where everything went straight up for about 3 months. And then when we talked about maybe 6 weeks ago, we saw our risk model turn negative, and we saw a couple of red flags creep up and suggest maybe that easy money, quote unquote, easy money was over, and maybe it'd be more of a grind from there. Then we had the option of, okay, is it going to be, a sharp, semi-painful correction? Is it going to be more of a mild kind of a consolidation before moving higher? And since we talked a couple weeks ago, I'd say there's been more positive action technically than negative. We've seen a couple areas of the market, like you mentioned, a few of the areas in technology and semiconductors, and some of those areas, some of the growth areas that were a little bit in danger of at least correcting a little bit sharper, have actually improved and righted themselves and are back up testing their old highs. So that's positive. And also, like you said, we've seen a breakdown since then in several of the volatility indices, including the VIX and the VXN, which is the volatility index on the NASDAQ 100, both breaking down below that 12-month range they've been in, and certainly opening up further downside potential in the near term to intermediate term. Plenty of room to go on the downside potentially in the volatility indices, which should be another, you know, tailwind for stocks in the short term to intermediate term. So more positive than negative since we last spoke a couple weeks ago. Still not, you know, back to the straight up market post election, but more of a grind, but still more positive than negative, still a benefit of the doubt to further upside in the intermediate term.
Yeah, and in all fairness, still grinding higher to all-time highs, right? So it does. The markets don't need to just scream higher to be bullish, and some of these calm, just consistent moves upwards can lead to long runs. We saw that about 4 years ago. Dana, are there any weak sectors out there that you're watching that you're saying, well, maybe if the weakness here could pick up steam or spread to some other sectors, then we would need to turn more bearish?
Yeah, sure. So when we entered more of what we call that two-way market about 6 weeks ago, our kind of our tactics changed a little bit to more active management, you know, not just buying the dips, but also selling the rips, taking profits more readily, and also being more selective in what we buy, not just when we buy it. So whereas most everything was going up following the election for several months, lately it's been a little bit more selective. Now we did see, like I mentioned, several areas in tech and growth did bounce back nicely since then, have reclaimed key technical levels and are actually testing all-time highs again. With that said, not everything is back up into a more constructive position. So you're seeing the biotechs struggled to regain their footing. You're seeing areas in energy struggling to get back above some key technical levels. So I would say those are a couple areas that are struggling. Even some of the smaller to mid-cap growth areas are struggling, even as the mid large cap and the mega cap growthier names are doing well again. So it's not, you know, as wide based as we've seen. There's still plenty of, like you said, plenty of internal strength in terms of the breadth plenty of technical constructive setups out there, but it's not as wide based. There are pockets of weakness which we are trimming or just want to avoid altogether. So I guess those would be a couple of the areas that I would be trimming or staying away from at this point.
It does continue to be this rotation trade, right? And I think the most important thing about this rotation trade is money's going from sector to sector, but it's broadly staying in stocks and equities.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's been a very healthy rotation. In that post-election period, it was basically everything moving up, and they're taking turns maybe taking the leadership reins, even though everything was pretty much going up at the same time. Now you're seeing some things struggle. You're seeing some more distinct dispersion or rotation among some of the groups. So you got to be, like I said, a little bit more selective. But you're seeing new areas step up and take over some leadership. Consumer staples back doing well again. Healthcare has reemerged again. So some of those areas and many of the materials sectors and subsectors are doing well again. So it's kind of a fun atmosphere in terms of their pockets of opportunity if you know where to look and if you know if you get in at the right time. So there's still plenty of opportunity, still plenty of positive rotation. So as long as that's the case, probably not a lot of risk of any major top or major corrective action right now.
So Dana, let's look at commodities as well, because commodities were on a tear and they had kind of their own rotation within different commodity sectors. Precious metals in the middle to beginning of last year were doing very well. And then they topped out and base metals started to run. We have energy, especially the oil market, that was running. But we've seen a little bit of a slowdown in that upward momentum, a little bit of a correction in the base metals as well as energy. And now precious metals are starting to get a little bit of a bounce. Do any commodity sectors interest you?
In the intermediate term, I mean, they're still pretty, most of them are pretty constructively set up still here. You know, some of those reemerging economic commodities like the base metals, like crude oil, which had really good runs over the last year, have run into some key technical levels. And we're seeing those level off a little bit and pause or pull back a little bit. So I would say probably the quote-unquote easy money there is over as well. And you mentioned the precious metals still in that consolidation phase after the big run-up into last year. I think looking longer term, we should see upside resolution, another big up leg to the bull markets there. Right now, we're also looking at the grains starting to reemerge after they had a nice run in the early part of the year, consolidated for a little bit, maybe starting to move again. So that might be another area of leadership potentially going forward here in the short term.
Okay, so you're seeing opportunities, but again, it's not maybe the clearest of pictures, right? You do need to be pretty on top of your account right now, because it is about riding some of these trends and staying on these trends, because, well, that's been the most profitable trade this year and even at the tail end of last year.
Yeah, that's right. You got to be, like I said, a little bit more active in managing it, a little bit more quick to take some profits. It's not, you know, again, like the post-election market where you throw a dart and you're pretty much going to pick a winner. You just ride it for a couple months. But right now, you got to be, if you're going to be in it, you got to be a little bit more active in managing, taking some profits into the rips as well as buying the dips, or else if you don't, it's going to be a little bit of a roller coaster. If you want to put up with it, that's fine. But we like to be a little bit more active in managing things in this type of environment.
All right. One other comment on the crypto space too, please, there, Dana, is that, look, Ether is now above $2,000. It's been almost a steady flow of news over the last month, let's say, of the use case for cryptocurrencies being accepted in more areas, and that helps to drive the price higher. But I think we all know cryptos is also a very sentiment-driven market that can get, well, very volatile. It always is quite volatile, but really see some major gains and some fairly big drops too. How do you see the setup in the crypto space?
Yeah, still a constructive as well. I mean, the interesting thing about the crypto space, and I would not have necessarily have guessed it unless I dove a little deep into it about probably about 5 years ago into Bitcoin, really study the chart and realize that, man, it really adhered to technicals, that the kind of technicals that we like to look at, and some Fibonacci work that we like to utilize, and it really adhered to it very closely. So we've started trading some of the cryptocurrencies since then. Of late, you know, over the last 6 months or so, it's been Bitcoin and Ethereum we've been interested in, and still set up, I think, for further highs to come. Bitcoin had obviously a bigger run than Ethereum. I think Ethereum's more like maybe what Bitcoin was a couple months ago. Still maybe more upside to it right now. Yesterday, we saw a nice pullback towards some key technical levels. And like clockwork, they held again, at least for now, and bounce off there. So we are buying the dips in Bitcoin and Ethereum. I think Bitcoin, you could see another move up towards that 62,000 level. And then beyond that, maybe into the mid 70s, 74,000, perhaps. And then Ethereum, we've had our target around 2250 or so for maybe a profit taking level, and I don't see any reason why I can't get up there, and actually potentially much higher beyond that. So right now, pretty constructive still in the crypto space, and until that changes, we'll be in there buying the dips, and like I said, very technically adherent to some of those chart techniques that we use. So if you're a chartist, if you're you know, a proponent of Fibonacci, I would take a look at the crypto charts, because they're pretty, like I said, they adhere to those levels pretty well. And right now, like I said, pretty constructive still. So we're still bullish there.
All right, Dana, I appreciate your comments. My big takeaway is that there's still a lot of money in this system and still a lot of opportunities, and money continues to trickle in. So, yeah, try to ride those waves higher, because trying to pick tops and bottoms is a tough game, but riding these trends, which have been around for a while, and understanding where the money's rotating, that's some of the best investing you can do, at least in this time. Dana, good chatting with you, buddy. I appreciate you taking some time on this weekend show. We will chat again in another couple weeks. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
You got it. Thanks again, Corey.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.